For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance and Metal Injection. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
welcome, my friends, to episode number 191 of the MSR Cast Metal Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek.
And I'm Sean the Metal Pigeon.
I sound excited, don't I?
Yeah.
I'm super stoked to be here tonight to
talk
about some new metal.
I'm excited. There's a lot of new stuff to talk about, which is nice for once.
I know, right?
The last two episodes have been old stuff. Now it's all new stuff. So
I got something old in here.
Oh, yeah?
We'll get to that on one of our classic tracks that I picked out for the evening.
Okay, yeah.
But let's talk about the band that started everything off. This has become my new discovery. Absolutely adore this band.
My newest discovery, too, just by virtue of being here.
When I first heard it, okay, so I'll sit here at work, and I will pop on what's the Spotify playlist that they put out with new tracks, right?
Yeah.
New metal tracks.
Yeah.
Most of the time, maybe about 90% of the time, it's stuff I don't like, but that sweet, sweet 10%, I get gold.
Yeah.
I tell you, gold nuggets.
Yeah.
With bands like Aeternum.
It's a useful little playlist. That's been one of the things I've been consulting as well. And also I look on, Banger produces their recommends for the, I guess it's Apple's music service or something.
Sure.
And I don't really use that service. I just look at to see what their list is. So, like, I don't know, I'm just kind of, like, looking for new things. And what I've been noticing, we're only, feels like the year just started, but we're already in mid-February. We're in the thick of the year. It's happening. It's not like we're looking ahead.
Don't say that.
We're in the middle of it. So, I feel like all the stuff I've been listening have been either bands that I never really listened to a lot before or entirely new bands. Like, in this past week alone, I've been turned on, and even tonight, I just walked in the door, and you were playing me the band we just heard.
So, when I first heard this band, the first two thoughts that I had is, I freaking love this,
mm-hmm.
and Sean's going to dig the hell out of this.
Yeah, and I love it. And I love
knew
it.
You would.
Yeah. We listened to, four songs, five songs just
yeah.
now?
Yeah. We watched the music video, and watched a video they recorded in the studio. Music video, they tried to do a little bit of narrative, but yeah. I think there should have been more.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't fire effects, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll give them points for the quality of the video, but the actual editing, could have used some work.
Some of the editing was cool when they did some quick cuts toward with the beat.
Yeah.
Like a fast, quick cut.
Yeah, it started out promising.
Yeah.
We're the harshest video critics ever.
But we're here not here to talk about the video, we're here to talk about the band.
Yeah.
So your first initial thoughts on the band, let me hear them.
Because the touchstones that were coming to my mind were like Orphanland, Therion, even because of the way they incorporate sort of the orchestral side of it too.
I was getting a lot of Septic Flesh type of vibe to
Septic
it.
Flesh, yeah.
Because the orchestration of the music and the way this is what Orphanland should be.
Why? I'll put it this way. It's what Orphanland maybe could be if they leaned heavier.
But
Orphanland, obviously, we know they've leaned the opposite direction the past album or so.
That's fine.
Which is okay. That's who
people
they are.
People grow and they move.
Yeah. I think that these guys have more like their production style reminds me of Myrith almost mm-hmm. with the way their guitar tones.
I hear a lot of.
But that Septic Flesh, that was a pretty good pull by you. When they hit hard, it is aggressive, and all the other stuff that they have around it doesn't take away from the heaviness.
And when they get really brutal and heavy, some of that stuff just goes away too. It's not it's not as prominent. Yeah. But man, there's some songs on this album that which are totally just like Middle Eastern Oriental influenced. And you know where this guy? You know where they're from?
Yeah, it surprised the hell out of me to learn that they were from Canada.
They're from Quebec.
Quebec, yeah.
The vocalist, I think, is Middle Eastern descent.
Right.
I don't know a lot about their history or anything yet, but yeah, I was surprised when I heard that. I'm like, oh, they're not from Tunisia or
right.
or somewhere where this is prevalent right now.
Yeah, but that's not entirely uncommon, I guess, if you take a look at Absu or something. And
true, they're from
Texas.
Plano,
Texas.
Exactly, so, right.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I don't know. It's just their sound, and I haven't heard their first album or anything. I'm not sure how they started.
I've heard their album before this, and then the brand new one, which I guess we should mention. The brand new album is called Ruins of Empires. It's available now. You can actually go to their Bandcamp page, buy the new album for download, or you can buy the physical version of it as well from them.
And this came out this year, right?
Yeah. Just past weeks or so.
Okay.
And you can also, which is a good deal, you can get all three of their albums for $15.
Not bad.
Not a bad deal.
Not bad, yeah.
Support these guys. I mean, don't just go steal the music. Actually, pay for the music you're going to listen to.
I will probably go ahead and get that deal. The thing is, with these guys, I think, like, there's something to be said about a band that can manage all those elements so quick in their career, you know, three albums in, and not have it be a complete cluster.
Yeah.
Because it could easily be a mess. It sounds like they have a songwriter. I'm not sure who it is. We don't know much about this band yet, but they have a songwriter at their heart that can balance all these things and make them sound interesting. So it's not just about heaviness, or it's not just about orchestral stuff. It's about trying to say something with all those elements and write a song that's compelling. Sometimes, you know, you hear, you're mentioning the playlist, the Spotify playlist. Not to name names or trash bands, because that's not our style, but man, there's so many bands in that playlist that are more kind of like American bands, more just straight ahead metal bands, like heavy bands for the sake of being heavy. And you listen to their songs and you're like, okay, yeah, that sounds like metal. It sounds heavy, but you're not really doing anything you're not saying anything with this heaviness. And I like music that actually has some sort of expression to it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm getting from these guys. So
we're just stroking these guys' egos right now.
Well, but you know what? Probably not a lot of people are talking about these guys.
Yeah, I think they definitely should. I'm very interested in actually getting them on the show now.
This is this is a perfect example of the cream rises to the top theory I have. Where this band's been around for a few years. I haven't heard their first two albums, but they've made enough of an impression to where they landed on that playlist.
Yeah.
You heard them, you told me, and I heard them, and now I'm going to write about them. And that's how, you know, that's how it works. It's like,
the circle of metal life.
Well, yeah, but see, and I know you're not like this either. And I'm like a metal guy who, I don't care if I'm not the first person to hear a band. As long as I get around to hearing
them. Exactly right.
You know, it doesn't matter if I'm not on the breaking, like I'm on the
cutting. I don't try to be the guy who listens to be on the cusp of everything, because it's too difficult to do that.
Yeah, and what do you get out of that? No one's going to pat you on the back, you know?
Right. This is real life. You can't just sit there and go, firsties.
Right, firsties, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. I found this band before you did, fucker.
Yeah, for me, it's just like, as long as I get around to liking a band at some point, it's like, okay, good. Now I was ready for them, or now they were ready to be noticed, you know? So, yeah, good job, Eternum.
Exactly. And good job on me for introducing you to
Fair,
them.
Fair.
Fair point. Here's another band I'm trying to introduce you to that I don't know. Okay, so I'm a huge fan of Pain of Salvation.
Yeah.
I went and saw them two nights before we recorded this.
Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day by myself, because my wife doesn't dig them. I'll be the first to admit that. Huh. But it was a great show. Oceans of Slumber opened up the show.
Yeah.
They did about a five-song set, and they played a brand new track too, which is freaking great.
Oh, cool.
So looking forward to new music from those guys. They told me they're not going to be touring for a little while, so I guess they're going to be working on some new music.
Hey, that's exactly what I want. Yeah. So, yeah.
But Pain of Salvation, there wasn't a lot of people there. It was the Scout Bar here in Houston, Clear Lake area. If you're from the area, you know where it is. It's a nice little club. There wasn't a lot of people there. It was maybe like 200, 250 people. It was on a Tuesday night on Valentine's Day.
That's actually pretty good considering, all things considered.
Yeah. No, agreed. Played just a little bit of technical difficulties when the first came out. Daniel Gildenlau, he's like the main songwriter guy, main guy in the band. He's had a lot of problems, like physical problems in the past year or so. This album, it's a very emotional, internalized album because he almost died. And I'll look up the information once we get back from playing the song, so I'll let you hear some of the emotion in the song, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. But back to the show, They were plagued with a little bit of technical difficulty. He had the battery on his you know, wireless mic or system.
Oh, yeah.
Was not working.
Okay.
And then something happened on after their first song, the second song, and they actually just wound up doing some acoustic singing. It was fun, though. I mean, they played about 6 or 7 songs off the new album, which I liked the new album a lot. It's called In the Passing Light of Day. I bought a t-shirt from them. I paid to get into the show. They were like, "You paid?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm paying to see these guys." Because this is the first tour they've ever done of America. They've played Prog Power maybe once or twice. But they've never done a little bit of a tour. They're only doing like 10 or 12 dates, you know?
These guys are Australian, right?
No, I believe they're Swedish.
Okay, Swedish, yeah. Okay.
The Swedish.
I think it was an Australian guy who told me about them first.
I've liked them for a long time. Every album is completely different.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
Oh, that I definitely know. That might be one of the stumbling blocks I had trying to get into them.
Maybe. So. I mean, this album's a little bit more, definitely a little bit progressive than some of the other stuff. I mean, they do a lot of weird time signatures and a lot of interesting, you could sometimes qualify it as like new metal-ish, just with some of the guitar riffing and stuff like that.
Yeah. The band that comes to mind whenever I hear them sometimes is Incubus. You know, especially with his vocals. I always thought he was a really unique vocalist for a metal band.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing and a bad thing, because unique, you're going to, you know, it's going to be extreme opinions, basically. Some people hate, polarizing. Like, some people hate Geddy Lee's voice, right? I mean, other people.
Those people are just wrong.
They're wrong. But
totally wrong.
But the thing is, I mean, yeah, this guy's voice, he always reminded me of like a cross between the guy from Incubus and Michael Hutchence of INXS, you know? Sort of, he has that sort of pop-ish dimension.
Yeah, very much so.
That sort of blue-eyed soul dimension to his voice, too.
And yeah, exactly right. He's definitely a songsmith, you know. I can't say enough good things about this band. I was happy that I went and saw them.
First tour, you gotta.
Yeah, if you're a fan of a band, you're coming to your town. They've never toured here before.
I'm sorry, Orphan Land. I missed that show.
I saw Orphan Land.
I know.
Go support these guys. You know, this is the way they're making money now. There's some, like, the end of the month of this month, Metal Church is coming. Super stoked for that show. Yeah, I haven't seen Metal Church. I was since 1990. I think we've talked about this on the show, the Operation Rock and Roll tour.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Was with Judas Priest, Alice Cooper, Dangerous Toys, and Metal Church, and I can't think of maybe one more. But
Skid Row?
No, it wasn't a Skid Row. No, that's right. Alice Cooper, Judas Priest, Metal Church, Dangerous Toys.
Yeah.
I'm thinking there's like one more. Motorhead.
Motorhead.
That's what it was. Motorhead.
Yeah. Crazy.
That was a great tour.
Bill. Yeah.
It was 1990. It was like my parents dropped me off at the Summit. One of my biggest, first big shows, you know?
Yeah.
But a friend of mine at work a few weeks ago brought me this article with a review from the Chronicle or the Houston Post. I don't remember which one it was from that show. She hated it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's all the reason to love it.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
But let's get into the Pain of Salvation track. This is Meaningless from the album In the Passing Light of Day. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
When you are so
been a crazy week in the news. A lot of things happening. I'm really hoping that it's not World War Now.
I hope not. Oh, I see what you did there.
Things could be getting crazy.
In Germany.
Well, yeah. It's already crazy over there with Creator. World War Now from Gods of Violence. One of the January releases, kind of like to me, they headlined the January releases before, you know, I got to hear any of the albums. That was the one I was eyeing.
And but I just mentioned, so I'm a big fan of like late 80s, early 90s thrash.
Yeah.
Which some of that stuff in that time frame, it wasn't traditional. They stepped out of the box a little bit. They tried new things, and I feel that on this new album. I mean, they've been like that for a long time, but you really hear it was just, it's this clean production.
Yeah.
It's modern thrash.
This one's
thrash-tastic.
Well, this one, this is the longest. Okay, the last album was middle of 2012.
Yeah.
4.5 years since from Gods of Violence to from Phantom Antichrist. The longest amount of time between Creator albums ever in their career. They've been like remarkably consistent, and I got nervous about that fact, like, huh, they're taking a long time to get this album out. And, you know, Phantom Antichrist was such a phenomenal album. Made my top 10 that year. Was amazing. I still listen to that album all the time. And it would be a hard one to top. So I kind of had that expectation going in. And they didn't quite hit the heights of that album. That album is brilliant because it really was they had been hinting on it on the albums before then, like it was like Hordes of Chaos and stuff like that, where they would bring some Melodeth influences into it. But Phantom Antichrist, like the Melodeth influence was all over the place, and it really made that album have this kind of sense of urgency. This one, it's almost like not really a Melodeth influence. They kind of went for, there are times in this album where I listen to it and I'll go, that sounds like a Blind Guardian riff, or that's almost power metal-y or something. And it's not like the band is doing like happy up-tempo metal, like power metal. But the riffs wouldn't sound out of place coming from a power metal band sometimes. So that's where this album surprised the hell out of me. It's more like trad metal, power metal influence, less Melodeth. So it is different, and as a result, it's like, okay, well, they're changing it up again, and it's not a bad thing, it's just different. So still getting used to it, but it is a good album, and it is worth checking out. It's definitely like the example of a veteran band doing it right. And I'm not sure if you had listened to that new Sepultura that came out in January.
I have. It's really good.
Okay.
You don't like it, do you?
I think it's... I am thumbs down on that one, man. I am not a fan of that. I don't know what the hell that band is doing anymore.
And there's like a weird, like, oriental metal influence song on there, too, which, like, it's okay.
Like, I like that first song, and then everything else just kind of fell apart, and there's some baffling stuff on there too. And there was baffling stuff on the one before that they had done with Rick Robinson. They had him come back and do the production on it. And he was talking about how it was going to be the second coming of Roots. And it really wasn't. It was just this weird, awkward mess. And I it's been so long since I've been able to sit down and enjoy a new Sepultura album that when their albums kind of come and go and I listen to them after the fact, this is the first Sepultura album that I've actually caught when it's being released. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay, Sepultura has a new album out. They've just flown under the radar for me. And I think that this new album just kind of, was it Machine Messiah? Kind of says everything I need to say about modern day Sepultura. I just, it's not the band I grew up listening to anymore. Anyway, Creator, back to Creator.
Yeah, they're completely different. Yeah. But which I think they're touring with. They're touring with Creator, but Sepultura is touring with Testament and Prong.
It's not a bad show, actually.
But Creator's coming in what, March?
With Overkill and
No. Overkill's touring with Nile.
Oh, okay. Which Creator's coming with
Which Dallas has just left Nile, by the way. They announced that he's gone out of the band.
Oh yeah, yeah. I heard Maurice talking about that or something. That's surprising. I can't remember who Creator was touring with.
They're touring with Obituary, Midnight, and Horrendous.
Yeah.
Who are pretty damn good.
Midnight would be cool to see.
No, The Midnight.
The Midnight. Oh.
I don't think it's the same.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe it is
Midnight.
Maybe
they just got the name wrong or something.
I think they just have their name wrong, because that doesn't make sense.
The Midnight, yeah.
The Midnight. It's Midnight. It has to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. Horrendous, too. Horrendous had that album that came out, what, 2 years ago or last year?
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting.
2015 was the last album.
2015, yeah. It was a pretty decent album. I'm still on the fence about that show because of the, I don't know.
The venue?
I don't like the venue, but also just the costs involved. That's like easily, you factor everything in like a $50 show.
If you get tickets, I know where to park.
Okay. Yeah. I usually just, anyway, we're getting into the weeds now.
We're getting into semantics here.
Yeah, the Houston weeds. So before Creator, Pain of Salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here's my thing with Pain of Salvation. I'll give this album, new album, a shot because I feel like I owe it to them because they have such a. I know a lot of fans of Pain of Salvation, but basically, is what I'm trying to say is a lot of people that I'm friends with are they really like that band, so I'll definitely give them a shot again.
So we were talking about his illness, Daniel Gilenlau. He was in the hospital for a long time. This is a concept album based on him. Going through the whole process of being sick, he basically got what's it called? It's a
flesh-eating
bacteria. I don't know the exact.
That's scary.
Oh my god! But on a Tuesday, the first track on the song, and there's a lyric, and it's on the shirt too. Basically says, "If I survive this week, it'll be my number 2119 Tuesday or whatever."
Wow,
it's pretty scary. You think about it, the way he. He writes about immortality and the way, you know, he really almost died.
Hmm.
And it's a really, really good concept album. If you're not a fan, I don't know if it's going to turn you around completely.
Right.
But there's some really good stuff. And I think Meaningless is one of the most beautiful songs on the album. It was great live, too.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan. You don't have to be a fan if you don't want to be. But...
Yeah.
That's what I got to say about that.
Yeah.
And I had a great time watching them live.
Well, they're just one of those bands where I feel like I should be into them. And every time I've given them a shot, it just kind of bounces off me. And I'm like, So, you know, it could be like I was saying earlier, it's not their time. But maybe this is the time.
Maybe.
So
maybe now is their time.
We'll see what happens.
Their whole career could just, you know, be relying on your one opinion.
It took Symphony X, like, what? Six albums for me to finally go, yeah, I like these guys.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right. So, you want to get into the next band?
Yeah.
Or you want to talk about any topics real quick?
Well, okay. Let's talk about what happened this past week.
What happened this past week?
So, what are you talking about? So, Grammy Awards.
Oh, God.
Sunday. I honestly didn't even know they were happening until that day. I heard people tweeting about it, and I saw someone retweet Dave Mustaine. The Megadeth had won, and I was like, the Grammys are going on tonight? And first of all, congratulations to Megadeth, because 12 nominations, you finally break down that door.
That's right. But I got to say, Dystopia is not the best song on the album.
Yeah, that's weird. They won for actually the song Dystopia, not the album.
Because it's weird, because like, it's metal best metal performance, so it's not a best metal album. And it's still a thing. They don't really care about metal too much, because it's not... on the actual broadcast show.
It's on the pre-telecast,
but this is the funny part. Did you watch the video of him walking up?
I watched it.
The band that was there started playing Master of Puppets.
I know.
And the first look on his face, he's like, all right, I'll go with it.
Well, I saw he did a little air guitar as he walked up the stage. I'm like, all right, that's cool. He was a good sport about it. I think he was just so thrilled to win finally. You know? They have lost some heartbreakers. I remember the time in 98, and Megadeth was nominated for a track off Cryptic Writings, and they lost to freaking Metallica for Better Than You off Reload.
Oh, yeah.
Officially, in my opinion, the worst Metallica song of all time. I mean, that song is just dog water, and they lost to Metallica on that song. And then a couple years later, they would lose to Tenacious D, of all people.
Right.
Friggin' Tenacious D. Like, I know the Grammys don't know what the hell they're doing with metal, and this entire ceremony proved it. But
you should
have thrown them a Grammy a lot sooner than, you know, 12 nominations later. So congrats to Megadeth.
At least they're nominated.
Yeah,
I think though they just nominated the most popular was nominated names. This year too,
and Gojira
song, and Gojira. Yeah, the band. I think the song "Shock Me" from Baroness. It's a better song.
Yes, that is the best song on that album, and I love that freaking song, man.
But I think, like, I think it's like you said, it's somebody felt it was Megadeth's time. You know what I mean?
Dystopia's
a good song, but it's not the best song on the album.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm comparing I don't really know the Gojira song that well, but I mean, Shock Me, that's worth a Grammy. But again, what is a Grammy worth in metal? You know, what is it really worth if friggin' Tenacious D wins and Metallica wins it for Better Than You? And then Motorhead wins it for Enter Sandman many years ago.
It was a Metallica cover.
Yeah,
I remember that.
These guys have no clue. And then I honestly feel like the orchestra they had there, because it seemed like an orchestra or something playing.
It was a live band.
I bet no matter who would have won that award, they would have played Master of Puppets. Probably. They probably only rehearsed one metal song.
Yeah, probably right.
So, you know, it just seemed very insensitive that it was that one. Didn't you consult anybody about this? Don't you have anyone who listens to metal working on your team?
Did you know that he used to be in that band and there was... Okay.
Like Bad... Yeah, exactly. You know,
not really Bad Blood anymore, but... You know.
So this Metallica thing.
Speaking of Metallica and the Grammys, other thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, did you watch this?
I watched it. I forced myself to watch it.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say about Lady Gaga. The Gaga. She's an amazing performer. I don't like her music that much at all. My wife likes her a lot. But I'll give her credit where credit is due. She's a great vocalist. She's a performer. She knows how to captivate an audience. She knows how to do all those things that make a good pop artist that, number one, doesn't lip sync. Because if you watched her at the Super Bowl, she did not lip sync that shit at all.
Right, yeah.
You got to give her credit for all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's so many pop artists, and I'm using that with, quote, musicians, that just lip sync, and it's fucking ridiculous.
I think Bruno Mars lip synced at the Super Bowl a couple years ago, so yeah.
Probably right, but you could tell, I mean, she was out of breath, she was, you know, you could, and she's running around like a madman.
Wavering voice at certain, yeah, it was imperfections in her voice that made you realize, oh, wow, she's really...
Yeah, yeah. She was the same way with Metallica, and I liked her with the Metallica song. I mean, the song is an okay song, not their best song, but...
She has a big tattoo of a moth. The Moth into Flame on your back.
Yeah, Moth into the Flame, it's right.
Yeah.
But somebody fucked over James because his mic was not working. I read an article recently, but the producer apologized. And
right,
said
I read
it was
this,
one
yeah.
of the. Apparently, it was one of those stupid dancers they had on stage that were from like the 90s.
Right.
Like, you know, grunge era. Well, I don't know what the fuck they were doing on the stage, but apparently somebody right before they started tripped over the mic cord or the cord from his guitar and pulled it out and pulled it out of the like, come on.
Well, they, you know,
they couldn't try to fix that.
Well, there's another detail there too. I mean, and that if that was what happened, then this detail really didn't affect it, but they didn't let Metallica's had the same sound guy since 1984. They did not let him handle the sound for the Metallica's performance. It was some kind of territorial thing. I don't know what, but they basically had their in-house guy do it. And, so that probably doesn't have a lot to do with it if it was a dancer that kicked in. And that does seem to be, like, a likely explanation.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. But also, don't you have wireless things going on? Or, I don't know. It just seems like, it just seemed like execution was bad. Like, full disclosure, I really like Lady Gaga. I like her music. I think the way she uses syncopation in her vocal lines in pop music is really creative. I like her music, just straight out, but this was a ill-conceived experiment. They should have tried it out at a show first or something, you know, like some random Metallica concert first, then brought it on.
No,
here.
But I think where they did it, it made sense. It's the Grammys. Metallica is not okay. So,
first of all, the presenter, the actress Laverne Cox, she forgot to mention
Metallica at all. Yeah, I saw that.
She actually apologized for that later, and credit to metal fans, they didn't rip her apart. Everyone was like cool with it.
Yeah.
That's the classiness of metal fans there. But they didn't introduce Metallica. James is visibly pissed off the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you saw Lars on James Corden live.
I did not.
But he basically said, oh, yeah, it's been like 20 years since I've seen James that pissed off after, like, in backstage after the show or after the performance.
I'd be pissed off, too, wouldn't
you? And so, someone was saying, like, oh, no, he just threw his guitar to the roadie. I'm like, there was no roadie back there. He threw his guitar and people ducked out of the way, basically.
Somebody caught it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. pretty much.
It's one thing. Like, they should have just had Gaga out there with the band. That's it. Why do you need these dancers on stage?
That didn't make any sense. They're
not doing anything. They're
the Grammys,
kind of like,
they try to make everything into a spectacle, and yeah. They did not need it.
Well, also, it's not exactly like they were emulating a heavy metal crowd. They were like, if you actually go back and watch the video, they're just sort of gyrating back there out of time with the music.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, guys, this is metal.
I understand they had that one group in the beginning where Lady Gaga was sort of like hidden in them.
Right,
and then jumped out. But you didn't need them all over the stage. Let the band have their space, be the band.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still not a huge Metallica fan anymore. I'm sort of over that. But right. You give respect to the people that created this genre, basically. You know what I mean? That they're the most popular metal band ever.
If I was Metallica, I would have been like, hey, can we just have Lady Gaga on stage with us doing this? I don't need the fucking backup dancers here. There's metal. Like, at some point, it's
we're not Motley Crue.
It's not Motley Crue. It's just.
But it was people in like grunge era clothes. It was like, what are they doing?
Right over their heads.
Yeah.
And I don't deny that Lady Gaga is a metal fan.
No, she
but
is.
I don't feel like she's. This is going to sound like I'm being a dick, and I don't want to. I like Lady Gaga, but I don't. I think that her metal fandom gets a little overblown. Because the band she cites are Metallica, Maiden, and Priest. Only dum-dum can know those bands, you know? You told me you're into Creator, and I'll give you some, like, all right, you got a little bit of metal credibility there.
Charlie Benante from Anthrax, I guess, was there, and he tweeted out a picture of him with Lady Gaga afterwards.
All right. I mean, does she know who Anthrax are, and does she listen
She does.
Okay.
So, you know, what's going to surprise you is when Lady Gaga actually puts out a heavy metal album. I'd listen to it, wouldn't you?
I loved her last, the one she just released this year, which is more like Americana influenced. I don't ever.
What do you mean Americana?
Like folk Americana influenced, like rootsy Americana music
really?
Influenced. Yeah, she.
So it's not like poppy.
Because the album that flopped in a couple years ago was Art Pop, and it was just like this European pop, dance pop stuff, and it just flopped. So she did the complete opposite this time and went for a more rootsy, you know, natural organic sound with guitars and pianos.
I haven't heard it.
Some good songs on there, too. But yeah, I don't know. And then, like, Lars's comments afterwards, like, oh, we consider her a fifth member, and we'd like to collaborate in the future. This is why it takes you guys 8 years to release an album. Stop fucking around with stuff like this. Just, you guys are going to tour this year.
You did a little Reed album.
Maybe you tour a little bit next year. But then after that, like, in the, you know, spring of 2018, get your shit together back in the studio and start working on
a new
album.
They're already touring. They just announced a big headline tour.
And that irritated the shit out of me because they are playing in Houston. Like, it's not even a week after the Maiden show.
Yeah.
And that kind of, like, I mean, it's not, I don't think they did it on purpose, but that, like, fucks a lot of metal fans in the
Avenged
wallet.
Sevenfold and Volbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Not going.
I think Ghost is going to be on some of the dates. No, never mind. No.
There was Iron Maiden.
Yeah, I know we're getting Volbeat here. But I really kind of wanted to go see Metallica this year, and it's so close to the Maiden show. I'm like, no, because even the Nosebleed's going to be like $50, and that's the football stadium where they had the Super Bowl, which is going to be like a bird's eye view of nothing, basically.
I saw Metallica in 94 at the fucking Astro Dome, which is even a bigger stadium.
Yeah.
And it was Metallica, Guns N' Roses, and Face No More.
How far was your view?
It was pretty damn far. So it was funny because you could hear the band playing. You can hear it echo around the stadium.
Yeah.
It was annoying, man.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing shows in that big of a venue.
I would hope that, like, they would do, like, you know, Toyota Center, but yeah, I don't know. It's cutting it too close to the Maiden show. I'm gonna have to skip it. And I really wanted to go. But
it's very, very close.
Yeah.
And you have
it's like a friggin' week.
Did you have to take out a mortgage to get the Iron Maiden tickets?
Yeah.
pretty much, right?
Yeah. Spent like $500 on Maiden tickets.
God damn it. You're going to go there and spend $150 to buy a t-shirt and some beer.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Damn it, Metallica.
Damn it. All to damnation, man. That's a plan that we should do.
just they need to not be tempted by this Lady Gaga thing. Just let it go. It wasn't that successful. You know, just focus on you, tour, get back in the studio.
I'm calling it now. Metallica will do an album with Lady Gaga singing. I'm calling it.
And it won't be, it won't, if she's writing the songs, it might actually be interesting. But, well, no, just they need
it.
No.
I'm calling it now.
You released half a really decent album. You got to work on building off that momentum. And Lady Gaga is not the way to build off that momentum.
So let's talk about the next band we're going to get into.
Yeah.
This is another band that I discovered on the Spotify new metal releases. This is a band called Damnation Plan. This is what happens if you mix their finish, of course. If you mix Soil Work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With, like, Evergrey.
Yeah.
I really like them. They're very interesting because they can go from, like, you know, prog, like a very power prog style, straight into something that would fit right into a Soil Work album.
Definitely Soil Worky.
Flawlessly. Yeah. I mean, they're great. I think Justin, our sometimes co-host on the Metal Geeks podcast,
and he'd be into them.
The Mind Fudge podcast, would really be into them.
Oh, yeah.
Anything that has to do that sort of sounds like Soil Work, he's like, I'm on board.
Yeah.
So let you guys make your own opinion about this band. The song is called Reality Illusion. I don't know if they have a brand new album yet, but these are singles that you can find on Spotify now. And they also did a Dio cover that just came out on there too, which is pretty cool. Don't Talk to Strangers.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting version of it.
Interesting version. Blind Guardian's version is still the ultimate of that.
Not Dio?
Honestly, I think they topped Dio.
Wow.
It's the one time I can say that. It's like, yeah, I think they topped him.
Dio's hologram is
I heard about that.
All right, so let's get into Damnation Plan, and we'll be right back.
Dio.
Awaken the world from it.
in my orchard, huh?
Yes.
What are you doing? Get out.
Rambling beyond.
Beyond time and space? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
So that was a band that I discovered again through the new music on Spotify, a band called Basque.
We're giving Spotify a lot of
apparently, they need
plugs.
To sponsor me, man.
Yeah, yeah.
B-A-S-K. They're from North Carolina. I looked them up. You can, let's see, I found them on the interwebs. They have a Bandcamp page. It was basknc.bandcamp.com. If you like that. And they say, letter to the listener, they're progressive, heavy, psychedelic, and Americana. All words used to describe the band.
Yeah, no, and that's a pretty good summation. I really like that. Like,
it's good.
And I was telling you when we were listening to it, I was like, I rarely like this type of stuff.
Sure.
But these guys, there's something about it that's working for me. Maybe it's the fact that they're not like sloshing it over with like a lot of sludginess. You know, there's a lot of clarity in the recording quality.
Yeah.
And that kind of pulled me in. It's kind of like a mix of like old classic metal, like, you know, like Heaven and Hell era Black Sabbath, but it's got that southernness to it that, and they have a little bit of dirtiness to it too, that you kind of associate with southern metal, but it's not like overwhelmingly noise sludgy.
It's not sludgy, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
which is always kind of what put me off of the southern stuff, but, you know, like up with the first Down album accepted, but yeah, man, I really like that stuff. Like that, I'm gonna have to check this out. Vocalist sounded great too. Has a little bit of that southernness to his voice, but it's still a really emotive singer too, you know?
Southern fried metal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is, I would almost say it's like southern genteel metal, not even fried, you know?
I like the psychedelic aspects to it.
Yeah.
The softness and it builds up to something that gets pretty grandiose. It's a great track.
Yeah. That was really good. Surprising and really, really good.
Yeah. Surprising
and
you
new
all over
bands
tonight.
Like, and that's what I was, you know, the thing I've been noticing, like, Aeternum just today, Basque, Damnation Plan, Aeternum, like, and for me, you know, it's just, I get that feeling that this might be one of those years where it's not the bands that we know that surprise us the most, it'll be the bands that we don't know that really kick our asses, and that's exciting to me, because it's like you always live in fear, that constant thing of, as a metal fan, of like, what if I stop liking new bands, you know? But no.
Yeah.
There's too many new bands. You'll always find something to like. Damnation Plan. The only thing I want to say about these guys, like, to close off on them, is that sometimes this style can get a little too clinical for its own good. And they, you know, need to have a little dirtiness to it. So I'm not sure how it'll hold up over the course of an entire album. Like, the song that I heard, I really liked. So I'm going to give them a shot to see how it works out. You know, that's one of the things about soul work that I've always kind of prevented me from being as much of a fan. I appreciate them, but I wouldn't call myself a soul work fan, just because you try to listen to an album straight through of that stuff, and after a while, it
grates on you a little
bit. It grates on you, yeah. There's something about it that grates on you. So, yeah. Hopefully, Damnation Plan avoid that, so.
Because I think they bring enough other influences into it, a little bit of the dark broodiness of, you know, like an Evergrey, and a lot of the power prog, you know, there's a lot of different influences that build together in that band, I think.
Yeah.
I think they're a very interesting band. I want to definitely dive into them a little bit more.
Yeah.
Remember earlier in the show, I was talking about an album that's a classic album.
Our classic track.
Our classic track. This is from an album that's probably it's in my top 10 albums of all time.
June.
And it's celebrating its 27th year right now.
So this is the first album.
It just makes me feel really, really old, because when this came out, I bought it. I had the album. I went through Columbia House Records to get the CD.
Yeah.
I actually signed up again just so I can get it again when I lost it at one point.
Right.
This was one of my favorite albums of all time. And of course, I'm talking about the self-titled Trouble album. This is psychedelic, poppy, doom metal at its finest.
You've talked enough about Trouble at this point where I'm going to have to really go back and do a deep dive back into the discography. Because I have listened to Trouble. but they were never a part of my education as a metalhead coming up.
Why is that?
I just no one ever told me about them. Honestly, that's really what it was. And then I only learned about them through reading magazines that you hear the name thrown around every now and then.
It was this album for me because, like At the End of My Days, Psychotic Reaction, Misery Shows Part 2, all were big songs on MTV back in the day during Headbangers Ball and all that. And then I really discovered the band when I was visiting family in Chicago, and they're from Chicago. I was able to acquire their earlier albums. And this band surprisingly started off as a Christian metal band.
Oh, wow. But
they sort of went away from that in, you know, soon after they started. But they have a really awesome psychedelic album called Manic Frustration. They've done Monkees covers and Beatles covers. And if you've never heard the band Lid.
Is that how you got into the Monkees?
No.
Okay.
No, I was before. That's a story for another time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I've always, Eric Wagner is one of my favorite vocalists of all times. Absolutely adore his voice. And I can't say enough good things about Trouble. If you've never listened to him, you're in trouble.
You know, recently I'm going to definitely do this for Trouble, because recently I went on Spotify and did, a complete Judas Priest re-listen from start to finish.
I did that with Hammerfall recently.
And those early Judas Priest albums that you just don't really think of anymore. Like the, you know, the first two, first three, even, like, man, those are like not that bad. Like, historical documents, I know, like, the first Judas Priest album has, it's just a weird kind of boogie rock type thing, or, and but it
rock-a-roll, man.
But it's just there's something to those albums where you think, like,
I've been collecting those on vinyl recently.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Some of those old Judas Priest albums.
Like, I think that. I think that Sad Wings sometimes might get, I mean, I love Sad Wings of Destiny, but I think that, like, yeah, like albums like Rock-A-Rolla get unfairly glossed over.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about Priest and we're talking about Trouble, but I'm going to do the same thing for Trouble. I'm going to go back and listen to the discography and see what I missed, you know? I never had that person when I was growing up as a metalhead, like, oh, well, if you like Metallica, you should be listening to these guys. I just kind of had to find it on my own, so.
Now currently the vocalist of Trouble is Kyle Thomas from Exhorter and a bunch of different bands from New Orleans. Cool guy, really nice guy. And Eric Wagner has a band called The Skull, which was the name of their second album.
Yeah.
So yeah, they do Trouble songs sometimes, but it's really good stuff too. But let's get into this. I can't believe this is album is 27 years old. I feel really old when I say that.
Well, later on, we're going to talk about something else that's celebrating the anniversary.
Oh, okay.
It'll make you feel old as well.
Shit. I'm looking forward to that. Here's Trouble, guys. We'll be right back.
By the hand of the Queen, our lives and hearts were redeemed. And again, the truth prevails, or so it seems.
All right, you were just listening to Xandria.
Yeah, I guess we were.
Queen of Hearts Reborn. From Theater of Dimensions, new album came out at the end of January. Schnarf is having a reaction, I guess.
I guess my dog likes that song.
So,
there she goes.
Yeah. So,
trying to play along to it.
So, yeah, the new Xandria album, which I guess you're not a fan of this band.
I can't say that I am.
Yeah.
But it took me, I will admit, it took me a long, long time to become a fan of Nightwish. Not until their last album.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe that's part of it.
Well,
I just think they overdo it. Like, everything is overlayered too much. Like, the vocals are just too much. Everything about it is just too much.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, the thing with symphonic, it's funny. I wrote a review about this, and I said,
it's not that I don't like symphonic metal, you know?
Yeah. Well, I said that, you know, the very thing that irritates people who hate symphonic metal is the elements basically that make it so great, you know? And the thing is, this album has... Okay, first, I was not a fan of Xandria for a while. I always thought they were just sort of one of those bands, like another symphonic metal band. They opened for Dillane and Sonata Arctica in 2014 after Sonata was on the tour for that album that year, Prize Child or whatever it was. Anyway,
something.
I saw, you know, Xandria open for the at that show, and they blew me away. Like, just the performance was so great. Diane Van Giersbergen was like one of the best vocalists I had ever heard in the live stream. I think I even talked about it in the podcast here. And so after that, I went back and started checking out that album that had come out, Sacrificium. Thought it was okay. Had some good moments on there. It wasn't quite what I was enjoying live. And, you know, I liked a couple of their songs before then when they had Manuela Krauer as the vocalist. Like Never World's End, that album, the last album she did with that band. That was a pretty decent album, had some good moments on there. But there's something about this new album. I think they've finally hit upon something. And it might be that it's the second album with Diane as the vocalist, and she's writing a lot more of her vocal lines this time.
Yeah.
Because something, they stumbled upon something here. They toned down the theatrics a lot. The song we played is actually the most bombastic or like operatic track on the album. The rest of it is a little bit more like leaning theatrical. It leans a lot more kind of playful. Like they have stuff on here that's unexpected, and there's sort of a sense of fun about this album. And that's when I was first listening to it, I was sitting there and I was smiling at the album because it was so unexpected from them. It wasn't dark and serious. It's a very like loose and vibrant and fun album. And that's unexpected for a symphonic metal band. It actually reminded me of kind of the last two Nightwish albums in that sense of, you know what, screw it, we're just going to do whatever we want to. And so some songs are unexpected or, you know, are operatic like the one we just heard, but then some of them are more almost like they owe more to Broadway than anything, you know? And I coming from that, I like that kind of stuff. So,
like that theatrical aspect to it.
Yeah, and I just like the fact that they seem to be
over the topness.
Yeah, it's they lean into the over the topness. They don't try to shy away from it. But the thing is, whenever they do, there is like a sense of like heaviness on this album that is like owes a lot to like Century Child era Nightwish. You know, very dark tones, but very concise and deft melodies. Like they don't. It's not bloated. This album's not bloated. It's very lean and very like sure of itself. There's a confidence in the songwriting. So definitely the best Xandria album to date, in my opinion. Maybe fans of the old singers will disagree, but I think they have the perfect singer for the band now. I think Diane Van Giersbergen, amazing voice.
No relation,
voice.
To Annika.
No relation. Amazing voice. I think she's like the best in that genre right now. Just like the strongest vocally. And she's also flexible. She can do non-operatic vocals really well.
Oh, I thought you meant sexually flexible.
No, and
he blushed a little bit. Wow,
she's
look at
very
that.
Pretty.
Well, look at that.
But amazing vocalist, and everyone should check out this album just to see if it surprises you.
I'll give it another shot. I mean, I'm not above, you know, I listened to it a little bit. I haven't listened to the whole thing, so I'll try it again for you.
Yeah. Just go into it expecting, don't expect, just actually throw away all your expectations when you go into it. Because I went into it just going, all right, you know, here we go. Another shot for Xandria. And honestly, I remember just like laughing at what I was hearing. Just
aren't
like,
they touring soon?
If they're going to come to Houston, I will definitely be there. There's another band that we're going to play coming up that is coming to Houston. That I'm actually now thinking about going to that show just out of curiosity of seeing them live.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yes. Battle Beast, another band who has dealt with singer changes.
Yeah, they're opening up for Sabaton.
Yeah.
Which they are very much in the style of Sabaton, but to another level, I think.
They're definitely, you said it right, they're a perfect opening band for Sabaton.
It's like Doro playing with Sabaton.
But you know, the thing is, I knew about Battle Beast like albums ago because, you know, Dr. Metal would play them on the Metal Meltdown. I'd hear them and he was a big fan. I would go, yeah, they're okay. Something about it's missing. You know, it's not gelling for me. And then this album is kind of interesting for them because, okay, they've had the new singer for a while now. She's not really new. She's been on more albums than the old singer was. They lost their main songwriter before they started writing this album, and they brought in a new guy, and it really is a fresh band. It's a transformation in their sound from trying to steer into, you know, what they were trying to do was like just pretty straight ahead power metal, kind of bombastic power metal, and they never really got the songwriting right.
Yeah.
And they sort of hinted at going into a more rock direction on the last album, but they really steered into that direction this time because the stuff I've heard from this album, I haven't gotten to hear the entire thing yet, but I've heard like four songs from it. It is like Doro Pesh meets Roxette meets like a little touch of ABBA. And I love it. It's like, that's kind of that her voice. That's kind of exactly what they needed to do the entire time. So if this is what they do the entire album, this could be an early, like, you know, album of the year favorite type thing. So, yeah.
Awesome. We're going to get into that, but before we heard Xandria, we heard Trouble, which is our classic track of this episode, because I can't believe we're celebrating 27 years of this album. It's crazy to even think that year, how many good albums came out in 1990.
Yeah.
I think we need to do a tribute to 1990, because Painkiller came out.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah.
It was a good fucking year.
Yeah. Then No Prayer came out too that year. So.
I enjoy No Prayer for the Dying.
Yeah. I enjoy some of it.
Come on. You're a tail gunner.
Yeah. Well, I love that song. Yeah. 19. It's hard to pick. Those years were.
Rest in Peace came out that year.
Rest in Peace. Yeah.
I think we need to do a tribute to 1990 because that was a very formative year for metal for me.
Empire came out that year from Queensryche too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or was that 91? No, it was 90. Yeah, no, I can't remember anymore.
I think we're going to do one of the things I wanted to do is episodes devoted to a certain year or a certain, like, an era, you know what I mean?
We've been talking about this early 90s thing for so long. We just need to shut up and do it.
That's right. Put our money where our mouth is.
Yeah.
So I made you listen to some Trouble. Made you listen to more than just the song. We heard R.I.P. from the self-titled Trouble album produced by Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
On American Records. I've listened to it now. I'm like, oh, it does have that same guitar tone from the early Danzig stuff too, you know?
And this was 1990, right?
Yeah, so 1990.
It's like he was just coming off of doing the Cult for Electric.
Yeah.
You know, so it has that sort of sparse guitar sound going on for it. Yeah, I liked what I heard, man. So like I told you, I'm going to go back and do a Trouble discography re-listen on Spotify.
All their albums are on Spotify at all. So,
oh, okay.
You're probably about three or four are not on there.
Huh.
Which is interesting.
Well,
but check out Lid too. If you like Eric Wagner, the vocalist, he did a band called Lid, who it was Eric Wagner and Danny Kavanaugh from Anathema.
Anathema, yeah.
Great album. All great right. album. It was like probably 96-ish when it came out.
Yeah.
Amazing album. They do a Monkees cover on that album. They do a Beatles cover.
Huh.
It's a really cool album. They just remastered and re-released it recently, too. So.
Nice.
So I guess it's time to end the episode. Any final topics you wanted to mention real quick?
Speaking of anniversaries. So
is it our anniversary?
Valentine's Day.
Did I forget?
Was the 25th anniversary of Wayne's World. Of the release of Wayne's World. And
oh fuck, I feel old.
Well, you know, the thing about this is that like I really love that movie and everyone loves that movie, I think. I don't
know. I watched it not too long ago, maybe a few months ago, it was on HBO, and I was like, oh,
it holds up.
I watch it.
Except everything holds up in that movie except for their idea of what metal music sounds like.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
but it was that, was it 92-ish when it came out? 91, 92?
92.
It was, it was full blown on right before grunge took over. It was full blown on hair metal.
Yeah, no, that's true. But like, you know, Crucial Taunt plays like Jimi Hendrix covers and stuff like that. And they play like something that's just kind of like, what?
Mm.
Like at the end of the movie when they like, when they're doing that final Wayne's World episode.
What about Wayne's World 2?
They're playing the Ballroom Blitz.
Yeah. Sweet.
Well, sweet. Which is kind of like, all right, that's cool. But like, this is not metal. You know what I mean?
Sorry for all the noise my dog is making, guys.
Yes.
She really wants to headbang right now.
She is pretty much headbanging. Favorite Wayne's World moment for you? Just anything in that movie? Anything except for the headbanging scene, because that gets a little overrated these days.
The Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, no. I've never had the urge to headbang the Bohemian Rhapsody in all my life.
Every time Garth sees, what's her name? They do like the Dreamweaver sequence.
Oh, yeah.
It's always funny. There's Garth in that movie. Garth Harvey was great.
Amazing, yeah. I think that, like, my favorite character is honestly Stan Mikita. The donut guy?
Yeah.
Amazing. And favorite moment, it's got to be like the when he's talking to Russell about how is Russell Rob Lowe? Is Rob Lowe Russell? Or is it the other guy? He's like lackey or whatever. Whatever that moment is when Garth tells that guy.
I'm sort of mixing Wayne's World 1 and 2 together.
Oh, I haven't seen Wayne's World 2 in ages.
That's when they tried to do the festival.
Like, he's like, if Russell were an ice cream flavor, he'd be pralings and dick. And I lose my mind every time I see that scene.
I can tell.
So, favorite Wayne's World moment. Anyway,
Hold on. Wayne's World.
Party time.
All right.
Excellent.
All right. Brilliant. I always love how they're like all in super metal and then like we're wearing like Def Leppard t-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
Yeah. And the guys, like their crew, like one of them has like kind of teased up hair. Yeah. Terry, I think it was. Yeah. Oh, great movie. So now we're talking about Wayne's World.
Welcome back to the Wayne's World podcast. I guess before we get into our last two songs, let's let everybody let's wrap everything up here. You have been listening to MSRcast episode 191. We're getting close to 200.
Oh man!
Oh my God!
We need to do something for 200.
We're working on scheduling these better as well. Maybe doing it as a bi-weekly show again. This is something we're talking about behind the scenes. So. Metal Geeks and then MSRcast, everyone, you know, switching back and forth like that. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Hopefully this works.
Hopefully it works. It's a lot of work, I tell you that much. And I just started a new position at my job, so it's taken a lot of work out of me. So
yeah,
we'll figure it out. But we're always, we're working right.
I'll tell you what, though. It's mid-February. We're already ahead of where we were last year. We have 3 episodes out this year. This will be our 4th.
Wow. Maybe. Wait. Second? No, this will be the 3rd.
Oh, God damn it. This will be our 3rd. We're still ahead.
Still ahead.
We're still ahead.
Right. We're better than we were last year.
Yeah.
So if you want to find all the episodes we just released, you can go to MSRcast.com or MetalGeeks.net. It'll take you to the same place. You can look for us on iTunes. You can look for either MSRcast or Metal Geeks. We're the same feed there. Subscribe there. Give us a review. Let other people know that you listen to the show. You like what you hear. We will take requests. If you have your band you would like us to consider or play, MSRcast@gmail.com. You can find us on all the social medias at MSRcast, including the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram, as well as at Metal Geeks for all that stuff, too. And you can find Sean at
the Metal Pigeon, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and MetalPigeon.com. And follow me on the blog this year because I'm doing like a monthly recap. I'm going to be doing like kind of like a journal type thing in addition to all the other stuff I know.
If you think the Metal Pigeon is articulate on the show, wait till you actually read what he writes.
Well, I'm definitely, I feel like a blubbering idiot on the show sometimes. I'm definitely better writing my thoughts out when I have time to edit them out. So yeah, I'm doing this kind of loose journal thing where I'm like going to just kind of ramble off the top of my head every month, recapping what I was doing that month metal wise, you know. Whether it's old stuff, new stuff, whatever. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So the last two songs we're going to get into before we go to bed, we have Battle Beast. We already talked about a little bit. We're getting into the song Familiar Hell. This is from the upcoming album Bringer of Pain.
Catchy as hell.
I'll give it that. Catchy.
Very catchy. Yeah.
Not my favorite thing, but okay.
Interesting video too. I'll just say that.
And then we're getting into a band called Wolfheart, which is funny when. A little behind the scenes, and when we go in to create these episodes, we create a Google Doc page, right? And we both put on the songs that we want to listen to, that we want to bring to the table on each episode. We both picked this song without even talking to each other.
I didn't see you wrote it on there already, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to get into Wolfheart. What can you tell us about this band?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I guess this is the guy from Before the Dawn. And I really wasn't familiar with that band myself. In fact, a reader turned me on to Wolfheart and set up January recap I just put up in the comments thread. He basically directed me to these guys, and so credit to him. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, sorry. But I started taking a look at their YouTube videos, and I'm friggin' impressed. And again, a new band, relatively new to me. That's like wowing me. So, and the video for this song is like a perfect example of how to do a friggin' metal video. And I know we've been talking about music videos a lot too much, but go watch the video for The Flood because it's tasteful and it's like, it matches the mood of the song and the song itself. This band reminds me of like Opeth, like a different vein of Opeth. If they were a little bit different, in terms of like how they sounded, but they have that kind of enslaved Opeth type intelligence to their songwriting and
I'm looking at an Encyclopedia Metallum, of course, where you go to. So this began as a solo project by Tomas Sakokin after he disbanded all of the other bands. So I clicked on his name, of course. You mentioned Before the Dawn.
Yeah,
totally forgot about this, but Black Sun Aeon.
Oh, god damn it.
I didn't put two and two together until just now.
We didn't do our homework.
We did not. We're doing our homework now. Wow. Okay.
Remember, like, when you first told me about Black Sun, we were talking about, like, oh, yeah, he's got some new band. I think you mentioned Before the Dawn.
Yeah.
And we just kind of thought that was his thing now.
Maybe.
And I guess that's over with.
Yeah, it looks like Before the Dawn, the last album they put out was 2012. Black Light Deliverance from Black Sun Aeon. If you haven't heard that album, do yourself a favor.
Go listen to that album.
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So now, this is how they've had two full lengths and then they have the single for an upcoming album that's coming out soon.
Sometime in spring this year. Yeah.
Yeah. He does vocals, guitars, and everything.
Yeah.
I've never heard somebody how they play in everything, but
yeah.
There you go. Wow. Okay. Now I'm really going to listen to it again with open ears again. I've listened to it many, many times and I loved it. And I'm like, now it makes sense because I love that album.
Yeah.
So let's get into it, and let's wrap up the episode.
Garrett Coleman, that's who it was who told me about Wolfheart. Shout out to Garrett.
Good on you, Garrett.
Good on you, Garrett. That. Yeah.
Let's get into this. This is Wolfheart, The Flood. I guess the album is going to be called...
Tehis?
Tehiji T-Y-H-J-Y-Y-S.
Yeah, you try pronouncing that.
I don't want to. And before that, we're going to get into a little Battle Beast. And we will see you guys on the next episode. And one last thing to say.
Keep it metal.
What was that?
Little Lady Gaga syncopation.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Poker face. Poker face.
Now I'm going to have to play the Cartman version.
Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.